Member supported radio. We are KX93.5 right here in Laguna Beach. Guests are always appreciated in studio, but when they're on the phone, it's always good as well. Now, Rami Jaffe is on the phone with us. But first of all, where in the world are you calling from?
I'm calling from Van Nuys, California, where my clubhouse studio is in the middle of the horrible San Fernando Valley.
Are you working on something in particular, hunkered down in the studio right now?
I'm hunkering down. Actually, I'm playing on the... I think they're local. They're an Orange County band, maybe more Huntington Beach, but the Fallen Stars. So I got to overdub some keyboards for those cats.
Nice, man. Did they seek you out to play on their record or produce their record?
Yeah. I've been friends with a couple of them, Bobo and his wife Tracy, for a while, and it started when they sought me out.
Nice.
And now we have a little working relationship.
Well, man, you got to keep us in the loop. Whenever that stuff is ready to be released, you got to float it our way, and we'll give it to the people.
Definitely.
Again, Rami Jaffe on the phone right now on member-supported radio KX93.5. Now, you're calling specifically to promote a show that's happening in Laguna Beach, not this Friday, but next Friday. I want to get to that in a little bit. But, dude, your body of work is absolutely incredible. You're a founding member of the Wallflowers. You've worked with just about everybody as a keyboard player, as an organ player, as an accordion player as well.
But I do it all.
You do it all, man. And originally, you're from where?
I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised.
Right.
Third in Fairfax, Melrose area.
Right. So you grew up, what type of music were you exposed to growing up in Los Angeles? Like hanging out at Cantor's and stuff like that?
Well, Cantor's, for sure.
That's my favorite deli.
Actually in the early 90s I started a jam in the kibitz room, the bar, and that went over crazy. It had, like, on any given night there could be Lenny Kravitz on drums and Melissa Etheridge on bass and just the most bizarre scene of cats around playing. But growing up in the 80s, man, I mean, I was all over the map. I was all over the Sunset Strip playing gigs with different bands, and even getting down south there. God, what, there's definitely punk rock stuff going on. Remember Bogart? No, that's just in Long Beach. What else is down there? Oh, God, there was some crazy golf course where all the shows at.
Right. That's awesome. So even before the Wallflowers thing, you were actively playing around town, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And what people don't know is the Wallflowers, we got together in 89.
Right.
I mean, I know it took us 8 years to get a hit radio song, but we were slugging it out even for most of the 90s and late 80s.
Well, that was the first band where you really, really gained success. Now, to pair up with Jacob Dylan in the first place, were you homies, or did that just kind of happen?
He was homies with some of my homies, and we actually met at Cantor's. Basically in the 80s, while I was in high school at Fairfax High School, there was so much gang warfare that all my friends started, like, their parents moved them to Beverly High or to the West Side and to private schools. And Jacob and a couple friends started the Wallflowers. Actually, we were called Apples for a minute.
Just for a minute?
The first couple shows at the Coconut Teaser. But we basically... met through mutual friends, like some of my friends from my neighborhood started going to his school, and they were looking for a keyboard player, and then the rest is history.
So who took notice in the first place? You guys just grinding it out, playing shows in the LA area? Was it the Virgin Records people who kind of picked you up?
That's exactly. We got Virgin Records on board pretty quick. And I mean, there was a bunch of labels, but basically they all were going to definitely wind the Jacob's father thing really hard, and he and we thought, you know what, let's just start semi-anonymous, you know?
Right.
And we're young, that's a big cloud over the head, so Virgin was really cool about it, but at the same time, no one knew about us because we didn't want anybody to know about us, so we kind of were allowed to grow, and then strange thing that the guys who ran Virgin went off to start another label, and they said, look, it's going to take us a few years to start a label, but we're leaving, and we were the ones who were, you know, forking over the bill or paying the bill for us to do what we like. So they were nervous right. about us staying. We took off, and then we ended up getting a deal with Interscope, and all the stuff hit the fan, as we say.
Right, and then flash forward to 2013. Again, I was talking about your body of work and discography. Even if it wasn't a Rami Jaffe project, I mean, you lent your talents as, I don't know, more or less a studio musician on so many great albums. It's really unbelievable. Not only the Wallflowers, you know, it's the Foo Fighters and, you know, even Soul Asylum and Pearl Jam and, you know, Stone Sour and like Coheed and Cambria stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, amazing. And I actually wanted to ask you about this. Now, I never saw the movie, and I know that you were probably touring with the band, the Sound City Players, right?
Of course.
Right. Are you featured in that movie?
I am. The funny thing is during the scene where you see me a little bit and a lot of my hands playing piano, my dear friend Jesse Green, violin player, who will be with us in that super band next Friday at the Cliff, but she was playing violin. She was also in the Sound City band. And she is like slow-mo and she's obviously beautiful and playing the violin. And so everybody's like, dude, I didn't see you in the movie. I'm like, because you were looking at her the whole time.
Right. Sure.
So I was like, why did they put that edit? It was like, you don't put me next to a cute girl. Then I'm going to be like, cricket. No one's looking. But whatever. I'm there. So now if you watch it a second time or with this in mind, you'll maybe try to find Waldo.
No, you even touched on it just a second ago. There is a show. It's pretty much a super group. You know, I mean, it's you, it's members of Blind Melon and Pearl Jam and the Foo Fighters. It's all going down at the Cliff, and it's a Rolling Stones tribute from what I understand. Is that what's happening?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
We started this band Bitch as a Rolling Stones tribute almost by accident a month ago. There's a gallery that asked me to put together something because there's a big Stones photography exhibit, and I just called a few friends, and we had Clem Burke of Blondie on drums and, Jesse Green on violin and all the stuff, and everyone had such a good time. People were asking me, can you do this band? And I'm like, these are just people that love to play. And obviously now with this show next week, Blondie's on tour, so we can't have Clem play drums. Dave Crewson, the first drummer of Pearl Jam, he was into it. He's not coming next Friday, mind you. He's busy doing a benefit in Seattle. But on drums, we have Brendan Buckley, who plays with Shakira and a bunch of people. In fact, me and Brendan Buckley are playing the next night in L.A. at the Hotel Cafe with our dear friend Minnie Driver, the actress.
Cool.
Who has a couple great records. And there might be a surprise on Friday night.
We love surprises.
What I just said.
We love surprises, and it's kind of an admirable cause because it does help out Blue Water Green Earth and this little nonprofit radio station. So thanks for your support. Again, Rami Jaffe on the line on member supported radio KX93.5. Did you ever imagine that you'd build a career like you have now?
I'm still in shock. Even starting 10, 15 years ago, I was playing on Johnny Cash records and Macy Gray and Fiona Apple and Melissa Etheridge, and it's like I've always been pinching myself, and now it's like time just keeps going, and just the Sound City band, just in our touring band, was John Fogerty, Stevie Nicks, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick. It was over the top, just like, is this ever? And then the Wallflowers just opened up for Clapton for a couple weeks, or actually a month.
Wow.
And Clapton came out and jammed the cover with us. I'm like, what is going on here?
So was it just after the Wallflowers thing, did people just take notice? Was it just more or less word of mouth that people, needed a keyboard player for their record? And then they were like, I got a guy.
Yeah. Basically, it was weird. This started even before the Wallflowers really kind of took off, mainly because Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers keyboard player, Ben Montant, was friends with Jacob a little bit when he was a teenager on the Dylan Tom Petty Europe tour, and he started coming out to our Viper Room shows and our LA little club shows before we even started, really. And he was like, took notice of me. He's like, man, you know how to play the organ.
Yeah,
no one does. And he's like, you know what, are you into playing on records? Because I just played on every record through the 80s and I'm kind of over it. I mean, sure, if it's a bigger band, you know, bigger, you know, artists, he'll take it.
Right.
But he started giving my name to, like, the hugest producers, you know, Rick Rubin and Don Was and Ross Hogarth and Eddie Kramer. And it's like, wow. And those guys, if you get them recommended to those guys, you're immediately in the group. And those guys started calling me a lot. And, you know, Benmont, sometimes he would be on, he's still touring with Tom Petty and Art Picker. So sometimes he couldn't be there. That's why, you know, normally he'd take the Johnny Cash record, but he's not there. Rick Rubin's got to, you know, meet a deadline. And there I am in the studio with the Man in Black going, what the heck?
Wow.
And, you know, and I've produced a lot of records too. It's the same thing. There's so many great players, but one recommends another because they're busy on the road or something. And the guy did fine. He's kind of my new go-to guy. I mean, it's almost like now I've turned on so many other cool keyboard players for other producers when I'm busy with the Doos or Wallflowers. And now they're, I'm like, hey, you're still working with him? I'm in town. What's going on here? No. But that's, you know, there's so much to go around. And I'm like half of the keyboard players I love, I'm like, maybe even for next Friday, I might have a second all-star keyboard player. So
Wow. Two
is better than one.
Very cool. Are you a self-taught guy, or did you go to school for music?
I did the classical lessons when I was a kid, even though I was like, what am I doing? Can I teach me the Star Wars theme and Stairway to Heaven so I can impress chicks? But basically, you know, once I hit 10, I quit all that and started jamming with bands and garages. And, you know, it wasn't about how great I can be by myself.
Are there any artists who you, like, early on when you were playing and performing, who you wanted to kind of emulate your game after? I mean, we just had the passing of Ray Manzarek, speaking of great rock keyboard players.
I know. I just did a few little interviews for a few little things about that. I was so into the Doors. I mean, come on. I Light My Fire, the solo.
Yeah.
Like, hello. You know, I was into Rush. I was into George. But luckily, I met Manzarek on Beverly Boulevard one day, even before the Wallflowers hit or anything. But he totally listened to me. I was like, yeah, those like weird parfums that you used on that one song. Totally cool guy. Gave me a couple stories. Never got a jam with him. But, like, I mean, I was totally into Rush. Remember Rush? I mean,
yeah.
Hello. And then, of course, a couple years ago on the Foo Fighters tour, we're headlining the big arena in Toronto, and Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson say, yeah, we want to do YYZ with Taylor and me.
Wow.
I'm like,
I love that song.
That's a bucket lister, you know?
So, that's amazing. So right now, again, Rami Jaffe on the phone right now, he's been on so many damn records. The discography and body of work is amazing, and you're not stopping right now. What is your main thing, I guess? Is it producing and help facilitating, you know, other people's art, or?
I don't know. Yeah, that's really what it is. It's more than even producing. I'm like part Bill Graham and part Paul Schaefer, you know?
Yeah. With a better head of hair.
But like, you know, what I really love, and that's what's so great about like doing cover band all-star stuff, because I love, like, you know, growing up and going, wait, Eric Clapton played the solo of My Guitar Gently Weeps, and Beatles and George Harrison song.
Wow.
Like, just, you know, that kind of camaraderie and people that, you know, jam together and like, wait, they know each other and they made a song together. So I'm definitely, that's my kind of what gets me off. So I'm always trying to put together either a great show with even 5 or 10 bands, or invent a band with members of stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, who knows? This cover band could end up writing some songs and just, I mean, writing songs is not as hard as they make it out to be, especially when you get an eclectic group of people.
Or you think you'd be able to get everybody on the same page with all of their other projects to actually start a new thing? That would be amazing.
That's the thing. That's why I think this band is like revolving door, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, who's in town? I mean, I'm not going to say, come do the show for free for this cool cause and shine the Blondie tour or the Wallflower tour, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So obviously it's got to work out in, you know, timing, but I think revolving doors. Sometimes I might not be able to play with Bitch. They might have somebody else on keys, and I'll be on tour with the Foos, you know?
Right. Again, you mentioned it. It is an all-star cast, man. I guess the project, yeah. You're calling it Bitch, and it's an all-star Rolling Stones tribute. It's you and the band also on this night, not this Friday, but next Friday at the Cliff in Laguna Beach. You guys could buy tickets right now, actually. There's going to be an art auction. It is a benefit for Blue Water Green Earth and this radio station. Paul Black from L.A. Gunn's going to be there. All-star Rolling Stones tribute. We got our friends from L.A., Thorcraft Cobra, opening up the show as well. So there could be some surprises, right?
Tons of surprises. There's already one for sure. And then we still have a week and a half to muster up some other crazy shenanigans. But please come out. This is we're supporting causes that support the cause of music and environment. And I mean, it's a win-win show, and it's going to be so fun right there. And the Cliff is what? It's on the Cliff, right?
Right. It's a beautiful venue. It should be really rad.
I'm definitely into that.
Intern Alex had a question, I think, specifically about the accordion.
Yeah, so I'm always interested in, you know, instruments that are a little different. And the accordion, you know, you don't hear it a lot in rock and roll. So what's your favorite recording or project you've done where you were on the accordion?
Well, what's funny is I've been whipping out the accordion for, like, almost 20 years because because I play piano and a big Hammond B3 organ. These things are massive, like grandma furniture crap, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, wallflowers, if somebody has to pull into a radio station to do a couple songs with acoustic guitars, I'm like, yeah, not so much. So, like, I'm going to get an accordion and play, like, the keyboard, the organ lines on the just right hand, not even do the Oompa Loompa stuff on the left.
Oh, that's cool.
Then, like, people would start seeing me. Like, Eddie Vedder had me record some Italian music for some Pearl Jam Live from Italy DVD. And then the Foos were like, Rolls, like, dude, skin and bone, let's play, do accordion. And then all these bands are copying, like, the accordion and stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, they used to be, like, $10 in the recycler.
That's so crazy. Sorry. You played accordion on that Foo Fighters Skin and Bones track?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Just really all hell broke loose, and I just noticed, like, wait, I didn't buy enough accordions. Now I can't find one for under $500. But because they kind of break, and God only knows how to fix those things. But I love it, and I'll play it all the time. It's like, I'm not saying we're going to, have red wine and, some French beret on, but it sounds pretty cool with acoustic rock and,
Sounds cool, man.
Yeah.
Again, Rami Jaffe on the line. I'm sorry, what was that?
And it looks really funny.
Playing the accordion. Rami Jaffe on the line. He is playing not this Friday, but next Friday at the Cliff, an unbelievable benefit for Blue Water Green Earth. An all-star band playing a bunch of Rolling Stones songs, whatever songs they feel like ripping into on that night as well. Let me ask you this. What's one record that you could never part with, that you would never lend to a friend, that you always need the physical copy of?
Oh, God, there's so many.
I can
many.
Answer that one.
But I'm looking at one right now that's in one of those weird Urban Outfitter frames. But Leon Russell, Carney.
There you go.
It's a weird, classic 70s, creepy, awesome rock.
Who do you think turned you on to Leon Russell in the first place?
You know what? I think Jacob did. Not till I was 18 or 19, I was like, who's this guy? Is that the guy from Mad Dogs and Englishmen? Blah, blah, blah. But, oh, my God. I've been a super fan since. And he's still around playing a few shows here and there.
Right. Dude, your website looks great, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, because a girl who was a Wallflowers fan when she was 17, who's been working at Apple this whole time, I'm like, of course it's a great website. She's a computer genius. But, I'm going to start this really cool website this summer. I'm going to, I kind of modeled around my studio, Phonogenic Studios, but it's going to be called PhonoVision. It's going to be a bunch of these short shorts. So YouTube, it'll be like a YouTube channel, and it's going to promote new bands and things we like and things that I like, and it's going to be kind of an artistic way to give a shout out.
Dude, that's a great concept. You got to let us know what happens with that, man.
And your radio station will be one of them.
We'll have
to do a little short.
Thanks, man. Next time when you have the time, when you're sweeping through Laguna Beach or whatever, you know, maybe next week, you got to check out our studios here. Like, I've worked for some major market, like corporate, like Clear Channel, CBS type of stations. And we're so little, but we have like the nicest studio ever. Like, we could look out the window on one side and see PCH and look out the other side and see the Pacific Ocean. It's really cool. Yeah. So we're fortunate here. And we're able to.
Next Friday?
I'm sorry, what?
You going to be around next Friday?
I will be. They asked me to more or less MC the event, so I'll be out there. It'll be really cool to meet you in person, man.
Yeah, me too, also.
Yeah, but yeah, our new station is good. It's been 7 months, and we're able to take a chance on a record and play some independent artists and stuff like that. I've been telling people there's only so much K-Rock or Clear Channel can do. My whole thing is letting the record labels know that, you know, we could generate rad content for their artists, you know, right here in Laguna Beach, share it on Facebook, whatever.
I love it.
Right. Speaking of social networking, you love your Instagram.
I love me some Instagram.
You do, man. I saw it on your Facebook, saw it on your website. That's great.
Dude, it's like, especially Instagram. And I keep shooting that off to my Twitter and my Facebook, which is kind of lazy. But I need more Alex interns.
There you go.
Make sure that I do stuff right so people don't think I'm a lazy.
I'm an Instagram pro.
Yeah, see? You got to volunteer already. I don't know. Maybe if you could give college credit.
I can hashtag like no other.
There you go.
That's what I said. I got to get into the hashtag. Less hash and more hashtag.
That's not necessarily true. Again, Rami Jaffe on the line right now. Member supported radio KX93.5. We will see you at the Cliff, not this Friday, but next Friday, the 31st. People could get tickets right now. It's going to be an unbelievable event. An unbelievable benefit for Blue Water Green Earth and this radio station. Get tickets now, bluewatergreenearth.org or through the radio station. Anything you'd like to say to the general public who might not be familiar with your music quite yet? I'm sure if they don't know you personally, they have heard a record that you've played on.
That's what I would like to tell them, that somehow you do might like me. No. either way, no. What you should know, this is a cover band, with a bunch of pros, and we love doing it, and it's like such a great opportunity to go see live music for a great cause at a great place for your area, it's going to be a blast. We're there to have a fun party.
Awesome. Last question before I forget. If there's an artist that you somehow stumble upon, you think they need a little bit of extra help, they're working a crappy day job during the day just to play shows at night, would you take them under your wing to produce?
I've done it many times, and I'm doing it as we speak.
You are.
So then there's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming up. So I'll definitely be back at the studio trying to push some of these artists because they're local. Actually, one of them, this girl I met, went to 17. Now she just graduated college. But she's from – oh, well, she's Palos Verdes. She's not necessarily in the 949, but
fair
she's
enough.
A, you know, she's amazing, and that's what I'm working to do. Just maybe I'll do that with my YouTube channel type thing, where I could be almost like a record label and get it going on.
Cool. Well, I'll make it a point to say hi next Friday at the Cliff. And again, Rami Jaffe, thank you so much for calling, man.
Thank you so much for promoting the killer event.
All right, you got it. Me and intern Alex will talk to you soon.
It was good talking to you, Rami.
You too. I'll see you next week.